Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I think one of the most common questions we have for each other, if you're in the sports world and you have families, you have kids, everybody's going, how you doing? How are you guys doing? How are you coping? Nick Carlin Voigt, University of Portland men's soccer coach. He's got a terrific soccer program that everybody views nationally as a top 25 program. He's got a recruiting class coming up in the 2021 class that is a top five recruiting class. He also, like a lot of us, is coping during a pandemic. I want to bring him on the show. He joins us now. Where are you right now, Nick Carlin Voigt?
Hi, John. I'm in the office here in Child Center on campus. We just finished practice in week three, and we're socially distancing, doors closed, mask on, but we're glad to be back and somewhat up and running.
Yeah, what do you like? Give me an idea of what that's like, or how different is that than, you know, maybe what it would be normally this time of year for you?
Well, completely different. University of Portland is a fantastic institution. I'm really privileged to be the leader here and the head coach. But you know, we decided, and it's the right decision to go online, right? So there are very few students on campus for safety reasons, and we don't have all of our players back on campus either. So we have a few guys that are training, and you know, there's a return to play protocol put in place by doctors and medical professionals that are following county policies. And you know, I never thought I would be, you know, coaching on a field trying to blow a whistle through a mask with rubber gloves and social distancing. Soccer is not a sport that has social distancing, but we're doing everything we can to keep everyone safe and start to get back to some sense of normal.
I would think soccer would be one of those sports, maybe I'm naive, where as long as you, you know, because it's not like, you know, you're tackling each other, although you were in close proximity as a team, maybe I'm naive when it comes to that. But I think it would be one of those sports where you're outside and you could do a lot of drills at a distance and maybe not lose as much as some other sports. Am I being nutty there?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, in a 90-minute game, you're only on the ball three minutes. And, you know, you can do a ton of pattern play and offensive patterns. There's a lot you can do to get better that doesn't revolve around pressure and tackling and social distancing. So being outside is obviously great. We're loving our new Riverfront campus and the fields down below on the banks of the Willamette. So that part of it is really safe and great. And just being outside and being connected has been wonderful. We would have our season opener tomorrow night in a non-COVID world. And so we think about those things. We had a great schedule coming up in the fall, you know, away games at Maryland, UCLA. We were playing Washington again. And so we were really excited about the schedule. But so often we tell our players, control what you can control. And right now there's things outside of our control. When our next game is going to be, we don't have any idea. But we know that we have to continue to stay fit, continue to get better, build group cohesion, continue to bring in the new players, the freshmen and some of the transfers on campus, and we can get them up to speed in our philosophy and our game model. And so there's a lot of work ahead, and soccer coaches want to coach. And so it's fun to be on the field and getting the guys back and you know, getting the balls out. And so that part's been just wonderful, and it's given a lift to everybody.
University of Portland men's soccer coach Nick Carlin Voigt with us. You did a big bike ride the other day around Mount St. Helens. Let me hear about that. I need to live vicariously.
Well, you know, so much in the Pacific Northwest, the Pacific Wonderland, there's so much to do that usually a Division I coach on the weekends, you're either scouting, recruiting, having practice. So there's blessings in disguise, silver lining, going to spend more time with my daughter, my wife, and then doing a little bit of adventure stuff, things I just haven't done before. So we went on a big mountain bike trip on around Mount St. Helens, like a 15-mile bike ride. Imagine hiking and then going up with a bike. It wasn't in the beginning. I kind of said, well, this is how I'm going to spend my day off, going straight up 4,000 feet of elevation. But the way down was great, and I'd never been up to Mount St. Helens, and seen kind of what happened post the eruption. It was just really fascinating and interesting, and being able to just the scenic view up there was wonderful. And then the weekend before, I went for a hike on South Sisters with a former captain of mine, social distancing, but being outside, getting some physical activity has been good for my mental health, and being able to see so many great parts of this great state has been fun. So
I noticed something. I noticed something that you're doing that I find myself doing, because when I tell people I do things, I always have to say, well, I wore a mask, or I'm social distancing, or if you dare sneeze or cough in public, you got to say allergies right after. because you get guff from people, you know, I assume when you're hiking, you're with people that, you know, it's not being irresponsible or whatever, but why do we feel like we have to do that? I do the same thing.
Well, I think we ask our players and people in our program to have a certain standard, and as a leader, you need to follow that same standard. So I've made sure I always got with one person and kept our distance, and ultimately just keeping my family safe. I think there's a responsibility. One of the things I love about Oregonians is we're pretty good rule followers, and so while the COVID cases aren't as low as other places, they're certainly not as high as other big cities, and so I think during this time, with everything that's going on with COVID, and then obviously our reckoning with kind of our systemic racism and what went on last night, you know, we had a good conversation as a team of just, again, trying to be part of the solution. And the guys, I said, hey, do we want to train today? You know, and they said, coach, we want to train today. This is our outlet for some stress that we have in our life. And I just think everyone's mental health is being challenged right now. And if we all can just do little things to help come together, regardless of your political ideology or your personal beliefs, just to come together as a group of people, as human beings, to get back on track as a society and bring back sport, which I think everyone wants to do. But there's so many other things beyond sport that's going on right now that has our attention, and definitely our players. I'm in tune with what they're thinking and feeling, and you know, it's an interesting time right now.
I love that you had that discussion with the players. We don't often get to talk in a team setting like that. And, you know, I appreciate that you guys are doing that. Nick Carlin-Voigt is with us, University of Portland men's soccer coach. You continue to recruit. You're recruiting at a high level. You got a top five class that's coming in 2021. How do you recruit when you don't have games? And what is that like?
Yeah, that's challenging. You know, there's a recruiting dead period. The climate in men's soccer has changed so much with the MLS academies, and the USL is up and running now. And so a lot of top prospects are playing in USL games. So you can tune in and watch different games with MLS academies. And the NCAA, I think, made some common sense rules for some outside competition. And so while you can't physically be there, you can flip on the TV and try to watch. And then just, again, staying connected with different contacts, different club teams. They've, you know, a lot of recruits have had a big break, a lot of time off, and so they're trying to figure out how to get up and running and how to have their return to play. And every state is so different. You know, what you can do in Portland is completely different than how they're operating in Salt Lake City, which is completely different than how they're operating on the East Coast. And so it's really interesting, every state's response to this and youth soccer. There's been no really uniform policies. And so some people are playing full games and tournaments, and those are being broadcasted. And in other states, they can't even have more than six players training at the same time. So, again, a ton of challenges. I understand why the NCAA is not allowed recruiting, just for competitive imbalances. You know, if you're in New York and it's not safe to fly, then I get that, versus, you know, if you're in Montana and population's completely different and you can go out. I think they're trying to figure out when all the sports can get back on the road and start recruiting. But in the meantime, we're just gives us a chance to go back, watch some games from, you know, 6 months, a year ago, have some different conversations with Zoom, doing some virtual campus tours on Zoom, and really getting to know players and families. There's been some benefits as well of having more face-to-face interaction with people that are outside of your market, I think, has been really good for our staff. And we've put together some good presentations, some good video of our style of play. And then we've had some really interesting conversations with potential pilots down the road.
Nick Carlin-Voigt with us. All right, speaking now maybe to parents who have kids who play soccer, maybe shift gears a little bit, because, you know, there are a lot of kids who are never going to play Division I soccer, and certainly not at the level that you guys are playing. What advice do you give to parents who have had soccer seasons shut down and have kids that, you know, don't want to fall behind with their skills? What do we need to do?
Yeah, it's a great question. Nothing changes in the sense of you still have to get better every single day. You still have to be in an environment where you're being pushed, where you're being challenged. Also, I think it's a good time to slow down and really reflect what we all want in life, you know, and some people during COVID, they realize they really miss the sport. They really miss training. And I think other players have realized, hey, maybe this isn't for me anymore. Maybe I'm going to put my energy into a different endeavor, a different pursuit, and that is fine as well. And so I think during this time, it really reveals your passion, where you want to put your energy, where you want to put your time. Based on the market that you're at, you know, you're going to have different access to things, but you can still send coaches emails. You can still market yourself in certain ways. At some point, ID cams will come back into picture. And I think coaches will be able to tell what those players have been doing in that long COVID layoff. And so fitness levels is something I still believe the individual controls. While there's tons of challenges, there's two mindsets. You know, you either have that Mamba mentality that Kobe Bryant talks about of how to get better every single day, or you find excuses to not train and fall behind and have a ton of screen time and watch every Netflix episode out there. And I think that part of it is just really challenging if you're not going to go put in the work and go to the field. And even if it's a one-on-one setting, you have to continue to find ways to get better. You have to continue to find things to make yourself stronger. And so using the time wisely, I think, is really important. And then realizing, hey, if you want to be a college soccer player, then there's certain things you're going to have to give up to get skills that maybe you don't have. And that's just going to be, you know, a ton of time. That's a 10,000 hour rule. You have to go out and really perfect your craft, and hopefully you can do that in a safe way.
Nick Carlin-Voigt with us. Tougher to be a player or a coach when there are no games?
Both very challenging. I think probably tougher to be a player. Being is really challenging. I often think, how would I have dealt this way as a player and having games taken away, and really you haven't done anything wrong. I don't know if I would have handled it that well, to be honest. Something that you absolutely love is now taken away. And I told our players the other day, I have so much respect for them and the way they've handled things, and they just keep coming back every single day. With a burning desire to get better and have connection and improve. But they don't know when their next game is. And, you know, we tell them all the time, tomorrow is not promised. And that is definitely true in today's climate. So both have equal challenges. Not easy for our athletic director, Scott Lakem, either. There's so many challenges. Our college presidents, this is a world that is totally uncharted, and there is no playbook. There is no blueprint of how to respond to just societal problems and challenges during COVID. And so I've been really proud of the way that the university's handled things, and I think they're keeping everyone really safe. And our players also enjoy the support that they've been given as well, just to have the opportunity to get back. I think we're one of maybe only three teams in the league that have any sort of practice right now. So there's schools in LA where they can't even step foot on campus, and our guys are able to have some level of soccer training, which for their mental health has been fantastic. Both equally challenging, but I would tend to say being a player in this climate is really challenging. Imagine not playing a game for 4, 6, 8, 10 months. Those are things that most 18, 19, 20-year-olds don't have to live through.
And where's the next bike ride? You did the Mount St. Helens. Where are you going next?
I don't think any more bike rides. That was really challenging. I think I'll do a stand-up paddleboard next. We got a exploration center on campus. I can go rent a blow-up stand-up paddleboard and get out in some water maybe this weekend and do something fun with the family.
Love that. All right, Nick, good luck to you, and good luck when you get the games going back. I'm eager to see what you do. I appreciate you, man.
Thanks so much for having me. Hope you and your family are doing well, and thanks for all the Pilot supporters out there supporting us.
All right, Nick Carlin-Voigt, University of Portland men's soccer. He's got that thing going. I pay attention to the recruiting classes. He has a top five nationally recruiting class coming in. It's very unusual. University of Portland's got a long, illustrious history with soccer, especially on the women's side, but Clive Charles and Nick Carlin-Voigt continuing that legacy with the Pilots. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. A lot going on in the world of sports and the world in general. For those of you following the coronavirus, a lot of cases at U.S. colleges and universities being tracked, so that's interesting. The sports world still digesting what happened yesterday. NBA players have agreed to continue the playoffs per multiple reports after their strike. There's a difference between, in wording, between boycott and strike. The players called it a boycott, but though experts in labor say it was essentially a strike, and particularly a wildcat strike. Workers came together, withdrew their labor. That's a strike. And a work stoppage without union approval is called a wildcat strike. So there you go. That, you know, technicality, sure, but I just think it's interesting to point that out and the world kind of digesting that. I'm hopeful that the NBA players come out of this really with a clear message, because I think ultimately if it is just a stoppage in play and then it becomes a muddled bit of confusion over, you know, what do the players want? I don't think you get the power of this coming together, and I think you probably are headed to a second stoppage if you don't get sort of a clear and focused messaging that comes afterwards. Other things going on in the world today. You've got Squaw Valley Ski Resort dropping the name Squaw from the ski resort. They're going to adopt a different title next year. LA Times reporting that. How do you feel about that? Is that too far? The decision comes, a month after the NFL franchise in Washington dropped its name and logo. Ski Resort said that the decision to drop Squaw came after extensive research and discussions with Native American groups. They said that Squaw is a disparaging word in Native American language for woman or wife. So, I always feel like I will always defer. I'm glad they talked to Native American groups, because I will always defer to, okay, this does not affect me. I don't have a reaction to that word. Can you help me with it? And if the Native American groups in that area are saying that they feel disrespected, change the name. Judah Newby, Alabama Adriana, how do you feel about Squaw Valley changing their name on the ski resort?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, honestly, to me, I don't have a reaction to it personally, but I'll always defer to the Native Americans and their opinion on it. If they say that, yeah, that's an offensive, that's a charged term, then I'm all for changing it. So applause to Squaw Valley for doing that.
Yeah, I had actually never heard of Squaw before, but we kind of talked about this when we talked about the NFL team in Washington. It has to happen from small stages to big stages all across. I think the sweep should happen. So this is just one of those smaller, I'm guessing it's a smaller stage, obviously, than the NFL team, but still good change happening.
I look at it, too, because and what came from that was that Native American groups that they talked with said, because I am familiar with Squaw Valley, being, you know, somebody who grew up in California and spent time in Nevada and California and that area. I had never thought of it that way, and I didn't even know what it meant. And ultimately, people say, let's go ski Squaw. And so the Native American groups said that they hear that as, let's go ski, parentheses, slur. You know, and so if they're hearing it that way, it's just not that important. It's not important to me. That if it's important to them, that's what's important to me. If that makes any sense. All right, coming up, we have our 2 o'clock hour. The 2 at 2 is still in front of us. The Culligan Water Cooler Report. A visit from Anna, who will be popping into the studio. I don't know what.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.